Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome, Survivors. You Survivor Jobs, a podcast in collaboration with Broadway World. I'm Jason A. Coombs, and this is Samantha Dawn Tutsilo, and we're your hostesses with the mostesses. Does that make sense?
Yes, that makes definitely sense. But does that makes definitely sense doesn't make sense either. And I think we're just a little foggy today. Hi, Jason.
Hey, Samantha, happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving to you as well, Jason. I love that we are coordinated today in our black shirts.
Yeah.
How sleek of us. How New York of us.
Yeah, I always wear black anyway, so if you wear black, you might catch me saying something similar.
So maybe I'll try to match you and I'll just wear the black shirt. Jason, how are you? What's your temperature check? And actually, can I switch it up this week from temperature check since, sure, you know, we're in Thanksgiving week? What are you feeling thankful for, Jason?
Yeah, so just to be clear, I don't really celebrate Thanksgiving for Thanksgiving. I just want that to be clear on the record.
Got it.
I just think it's a good time for, you know, because of the circumstance of the holiday, to get together with loved ones and friends and family, no matter what. But, you know, I'm not about celebrating a colonizer, a holiday, but I am thankful.
Correct.
For, you know, I'm thankful for the opportunity, I guess, to be a creator, you know, and I think you've helped me with that, Samantha, with this podcast, you know, so being able to be in a position where I'm not working in a restaurant, which I think we always come back to, and getting to, you know, all the jobs that I do are in a creative realm. And I'm very appreciative of that and thankful for the opportunity to be a creator. So that's what I'm thankful for, seeing it five different ways, the same thing. But how about you?
That's so beautiful. I love you. I always love you. And I always love this show. I'm thankful for this show as well. It's a great outlet that we have. I think this year, I'm really grateful for my people, for my friends, for my family.
Yes.
It's been a weird year, and I'm just so grateful for my support system and people who pick me up when I'm down, and just having people around you, you know. I'm doing the same thing you did, saying the same thing in five different ways, but it's true. You know, I'm grateful for my survival job that allows me to have flexibility to do other things that interest me. I'm thankful to not be stuck in an office, but still have like health benefits. I'm thankful for my people. I know there's a lot of people in the world who don't have friends and family like I do. And sometimes I take it for granted and I get tired with like social events and phone calls and texts. But sometimes I have to check myself and say, you know, some people don't get invites to dinners or phone calls or text messages at all. So I'm just thankful for that.
I love that for us. No, I'm serious. It's great. And let's talk about do you have something else you want to go into?
No, I was just going to say, I laughed so hard when I was listening to last week's episode about our concert we did of Bear Pop Opera. And I really want to say,
I'm so dead.
Thank you for your notes on that. You really did a great, you really did a great performance of that opening number. And I'm sorry, I doubted you. I listened back to it.
Did you listen to it?
Yeah, of course. I listened to it.
I forgot.
Like, damn, I doubted Jason when you were like, Jason, do you have my number? And I was like, that's not fair, but it is. And so I apologize for my doubt. Right.
It's okay. It's a classic. I say the only one I really know.
Yeah, it is a classic for like musical theater nerds for sure.
Yeah, which I used to be. I'm not one anymore, I don't think, but I used to be.
We'll get you back.
Get me back. But speaking of musical theater nerds, should we transition to our special guest today?
Yes.
Making a return.
So this is our first episode where we're having a follow-up episode with a guest that we've had in the past. So our first guest ever, Robin De Jesus, is coming back and joining us today. We're chatting about his new project on Hulu called Welcome to Chippendales, where he plays a very vital role in this story. We're chatting about, you know, the things that have happened to him since he came on the show, which was recorded almost a year and a half ago.
Yeah, it was March 2021. So,
you know, yeah, oof is right. And a lot has happened to him in his career. So it's a great episode, you guys, to like catch up. And also so interesting because, you know, when we spoke to him, he didn't know like what was really coming. He knew some things, but he didn't know like a ton that was coming up. So it's great and fun and exciting. And I love this boy. And it's a fun episode.
It's a fun one. So yeah, should we get into it?
Yeah. You know, we don't really have a formal bio for him. He's so famous. But, you know, Robin's been nominated for 3 Tony Awards. He's been in Broadway shows, made his Broadway debut in Rent, was in The Heights, you know, Boys in the Band, Wicked. La Caja Fall. And you can see him on Netflix and Boys in the Band, the movie. You can see him in Netflix on Tick, Tick, Boom. Hulu. And Welcome to Chippendales.
Which I got to watch the first episode. The first two are out this week, and they're going to become weekly releases after that. But he's not in the first one, which I didn't know. I was like, distinctly, I wanted to watch it because, like, we're going to talk to him. I want to make sure I watch it. And he's not in it. But it was such a good show. And it was like, you know, I listened to this podcast about the whole Chippendales.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, a couple months ago. And I
didn't
forgot.
Listen to it.
Yeah, I kind of forgot some things. And at the end, I was like, oh, yeah, that's what this is about. It's like, a true story.
Now, I remember.
And I was like, I know there was something with, like, you know, I don't want to give anything away, but I know there was something with these three people. And yeah, just watch it, y'all. It's a very well-acted, fun. It's a period piece set in the 70s. So it's, you know, really cool in that way. And yeah, I'm excited to watch that. I think it's 8 episodes, right? I'm excited to watch
it. I have no idea. You know, I really didn't, I don't really know much about it, which I'm excited once I jump in.
You'll enjoy it. It's really well told. This is the first episode was.
And
So
I can't wait.
Let's get into it.
Well, enjoy the episode, survivors. Oh, also, Jason, I just want to say I'm also thankful for all of our listeners.
Same. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. So yeah, I listen to a lot of podcasts and they always talk about leaving a review. So if you are feeling so inclined and you enjoy what you hear from us, your favorite podcast host, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or anywhere you listen to your podcasts.
Thank you. Enjoy Robin, you guys. Hi, Robin.
Hey, what up, Samantha?
Hi.
Welcome back to Survival Jobs. We've missed you.
Am I the first person that's been here twice?
Yes. Whoa. You're the first person that's been here twice, and you were the first guest. You're the first of like a lot of things on this show. How fun.
This is the moment in musical theater where I would burst into a song.
Can you give us some, or it's too early? You're not warmed up.
Ooh. Right? They didn't even touch.
That was nice. I actually think it was perfect. Robin, I feel like so much has happened to you since we first spoke to you on this show. But first, the first question is, since you were first on, have you had any survival jobs? Maybe not like a traditional like server survival job, but has any like weird little survival job come your way since we last had you on?
You know, it is interesting. Like, I'm at a point now, career-wise, where I do work. I'm still not working at like the, you know, back to back the way that I'm working towards right now in my life, right? So, you know, I still got goals, right? And so, you know, there's some hustling just to make sure that there's constant money flow coming in and stuff. So, I do hosting gigs sometimes. I teach sometimes. And even with the teaching, it depends, because sometimes it's like, sometimes I teach as an act of service, like it's voluntary and I give it. And if I'm somewhere where I know that they can afford it and there's that money is there, then like I'm gonna charge you.
Ching ching.
And even then sometimes I don't, like if it's like friends or family or something like that, then it's different. But most of the hustling for me is like sort of actor adjacent things, even like being on a game show. You know, you can make money doing stuff.
Oh wait, yeah, fun. Wait.
Wow, you did a game show? So exciting.
Yeah. It's so weird, like also the hustles that can that can come up that one would never think of. This is so silly to say because it's not a side hustle or a survival job by any means, but even like when you're on a talk show or like a daytime show, like you get a check for that too. So it's so funny, like
you're
feeling all cute because you get to be like on Tamron Hall, right, or whatever, and it was on Zoom, and then all of a sudden you come home one day and there's a check in the mail, and you're like, oh, okay,
that's amazing.
Free.
Or like when you were on Jennifer Hudson's Week.
Our next guest is an amazing singer and actor who's been nominated for 3 Tony Awards. You can see him now in the new Hulu show, Welcome to Chippendales. Take a look.
Hudson this week, on Monday, this past week. We was watching, we were standing, I was texting Samantha.
Yeah.
I was geeking out.
I was geeking out as well. I watched it 5 times back to back and I was like, this is weird. It's like so funny. Hey, Robin, I'm sorry to disappoint you, but you will not have a random check from Survival Jobs, a podcast in the mail. Please don't.
Or maybe it's coming. Maybe it's coming in a couple years.
Yeah,
you get like double
Yeah,
this is like friends and family discount, honey. Yeah.
When you come back for your 3rd follow-up, maybe there'll be a check, but not the 2nd. Hard no.
I'm so dead.
Survival Jobs is a union podcast.
Wait, so you were on in... We recorded your first episode in March of 2021, right? So that was like over a year and a half ago.
That's crazy.
I'm like, what is time? I feel like Jessica Chastain in The Arrival.
I'm so dead.
I don't know what timeline I'm in.
You're a Marvel superhero soon. You won't know what timeline you're in there either. So a lot's happened to you since we first had you on in like March 2021, and it aired in April. But what was the experience like of the whole Tick Tick Boom? Because I think that was before that came out. We were like hinting at it, but that came out and it was a huge success. And, you know, Andrew was nominated for an Oscar. And how exciting was it? Tell us everything.
It was so freaking exciting. You know, I think what was really interesting about Tick Tick was, maybe it was a defense mechanism. Maybe it was like a way of protecting myself. Well, that's what a defense mechanism is, Robin. I didn't know what was going to happen with Tick Tick. To me, we were like, we're making a movie. And I knew it was a big deal. I knew everyone around me was like, was popping, you know? And so like,
yes,
I knew that eyes were going to be on us. I didn't know that it was going to come with so much love. And I remember the day of the premiere in LA, I felt really, really present that day, which sometimes I don't, as a neurotic person at times. And I remember being really, really in my body to the point where I forgot about what we were about to do. And so my car pulls up to drop us off at the red carpet. And like, it was a premiere. It was like what a premiere looked like. Like,
yeah.
And I've done red carpets before, but I had never experienced it like that. And
well, we did the BFF red carpet. So that was, you know.
yes. And when I got out of the car, like I gagged because I was like, oh, wait, this is what you're doing now. Like I had such an isolated experience with the movie. And now that it's out in the world, it's different. And so we start the press line and I noticed that a lot of the interviewers are emotional. Like they're really, really touched. Their responses are really honest. And you feel it in a way like everyone's buzzing and vibrating. And I thought, oh, am I making this up? Like, is this just some Hollywood crap where people just say nice things? Because I don't think it is. It feels like something else is happening. And, you know, the press line, there was press on behind you and in front of you. So Andrew Garfield was behind me. And I just like leaned back and was like, yo, is it me? Or is like something happening?
Yes.
No, baby, something's happening. He's like, people are actually loving the movie. And so we go into the theater and I have like 10 of my people with me, and we're all gagging and just like what's happening, but also gagging throughout the movie, like jaw dropping. And I'm thinking they're just being nice because they're my friends and my family.
Yeah. And then
I'm like, no, boo boo. Like, this is special. This is very, very different. And the next morning I woke up and I had a beautiful room at a hotel that I won't name because I want to go back there. I don't want anybody messing
stalkers.
And I'm looking
at stalkers.
I'm looking at the Hollywood Hills, and I never realized this, but from somewhere deep within me, and I'm at this point, I'm 37 years old. I'm 38 now, but at that point I was 37. And
wow.
37 years of life, I never had this thought, I guess. And what I heard was, I heard myself say to me, I'm going to be an actor for the rest of my life.
And wow.
I never realized that I hadn't come to that conclusion already.
yeah.
So needless wow. to say, it was special. Yeah.
Robin, I don't think I knew that story. I love that. For the rest of my life. Yeah. Yes.
And I think for me why that movie resonated was because it was like the real deal. It's like when you're trying to pursue a career in arts, like everybody's, I think Samantha probably said this on the podcast, right? It was like three different storylines, but they're all being an artist in their own way. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why people relate to it so much, because even if you're not pursuing, you know, a career in Hollywood right now, maybe you are like, you know, doing the Michael route. You still have that feeling, that passion, that it's still in you, no matter what.
And in real life, he's still in the arts. He's still arts adjacent. The real life, because Michael's still with us. He's like very connected to the Broadway community and the not-for-profit world, and like where they intersect. The original real life Susan is still a dancer. She left town. She healed. She did what she needed to do. And I think sometimes it's that we get so caught up on like being a conventional actor and living in one of the two big cities and it has to be done a certain way. But sometimes people are artists just for themselves or in their own way. And, or we all are allowed to define our own version of success.
Yeah.
And, you know, in that movie, the three characters kind of show you the different possible routes.
Yeah. I came to the SAG screening and this is what I talked about on the podcast. Lynn was like, whatever path you choose as an artist, like the Susan, the Michael, the Jonathan route, you're still an artist. All three are okay. And when he said that in the theater that day, I was like, oh, like an obvious thought, right? Like an obvious fact. But I was like, oh, it is okay. You can always be an artist and not be on Broadway, on TV. You can be teaching in a suburb upstate somewhere. And like, you are still an artist and you're still allowed to call yourself that.
Yeah.
And I think that movie's so important for that theme, that message, you know?
100%. And it's funny you say that, because piggybacking off of it, I was talking to a friend recently and we were just talking about, so this friend used to be a performer and now as a professional adult outside of acting was like, I want to take a class just for me, like just to take a class and be stimulated and have something to do with no goal, like just to be in the class. And this person and I this person was feeling weird about that. Like felt like, oh, is that icky? Is it odd? Like living in New York City where people go to do this, to like do it professionally. And I said, you know, it's so funny. I feel like as actors, there are all these weird rules that are put on us, you know, like, why can't you just take a class? Why does that have to feel some kind of way? Or why do people have to assume like, oh, so-and-so's getting back in? Or you know, like there's this thing too of like when an actor, I hope this makes sense because I'm approaching it from different places, but like when an actor leaves the business and they're happy, that's success. But it's assumed that if you're an actor and you stop being an actor, that's because it's failure. But like you could go from being a lawyer, turn into a stockbroker. And I say this because I know someone who did that. And like, that's fierce.
And, like,
that's cool. But I just feel like it's interesting where shame comes up for us as actors.
Right. And like the judgment that we feel from other people or the judgment that we make up from other people, because I feel like a lot of it is made up from ourselves.
100%. Yeah. And I don't mean to say actors too, by the way. I mean like actors in like the previous actors, all of us.
Yeah.
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 I love that.
It's time for today's Lucky Land Horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Also,
can I just
shout
say
out
one more thing? Oh, no, go ahead, Sam.
No, go. No. Please, please.
No, I was just going to say, because bring it back to survival jobs, we got to see Jonathan working in his survival job at the Moon Dance Diner often in that, which was like really, really special as well.
I mean, it's so funny because people to this day come up to me and say, he used to be my waiter when I go to,
Can you imagine?
Like, yeah.
Being a regular?
Yeah.
Like, can you imagine like being a regular at Glass House, right? And like our Glass House bartender then is like, which they will.
Like, that could absolutely, I mean,
yeah.
I remember when Ariana Grande used to come to my stage door with her like, you know what I'm saying? And then one day I'm driving in LA, and I hear a song and I'm like, oh, this is a bop. Who's this? And I Shazam it. I my phone, I Shazam that thing. And it was like Ariana Grande.
And you're like, she used to be fangirling you. And now you're fangirling her.
And now how come she can afford a house and I can't?
You will soon. And I want a guest room. I want the guest room.
Can I just get a couch, like a love seat?
A couch, a love seat.
I plan on owning land with that place.
Perfect. I want to talk about now Welcome to Chippendales, which came out this week. Congratulations. The
Thank
first
you.
Two episodes are dropped, right?
Yeah, the first two episodes dropped for it on
Hulu. Monday,
was it, or Tuesday?
Tuesday.
And every new episode comes out the every other Tuesday or every Tuesday after that. Wow, can you tell us early, y'all? Sorry.
No.
But Ray Colon doesn't make an appearance until episode 3. Right. So, you know, knowing you forever, this role seems like something a little bit different for you and out of what you're typically cast as. You know, typically you're cast in a role that's sort of like surrounding a gay story or somebody a little bit more feminine. Can you talk about what this character was like and what were the challenges in doing it? Since it seems, by the way, maybe I'm wrong, but it seems like it's a different role for you.
There were no challenges. I think right now it was just something hit me, which is that like Ray is the epitome of survival job.
Fierce.
Yes.
He really is. I refer to him as a survivor and as a hustler typically. So Ray Colon, working class dude, Puerto Rican background, living in the Bronx. But Ray was that dude who needed to get out the hood. He came to LA because he wanted a career in the music industry, I think as a producer. So he had a studio. But when he would meet people, he'd say, hey, here's my business card. And the business card, it was like Dolly Levi. He was a carpenter. He was a plumber. He was a martial arts teacher. He was a photographer. He was a screenwriter. Like, he would do whatever he needed to do to get by or to climb some sort of social ladder. So in the storyline, Welcome to Chippendales is the story of the creator, Suman Banerjee, Steve Banerjee, the creator of the Chippendale Dancers.
He was creator.
And he co-created it with this other guy named Nick. Oh my God, why am I forgetting Nick's last name? But Suman Banerjee is played by Kumail Nanjiani. Nick is played by Murray Bartlett. and
oh, I freaking love so much.
Oh, bomb! Like so good. But also, we got Juliette Lewis. We got Annalee Ashford, yes, girl too. You know,
this all-star cast.
Yeah, it's a dope cast. So my character in that survival mode, staying in theme with the podcast, he meets Steve Banerjee, Kumail's character, and realizes, oh, this is a brown man who owns a business in LA, a very racially segregated city, honestly. And like, I'm like, I got to get close to that dude. Cause like whatever he's doing, if I have a proximity to him, I'm closer to money and to power. And those things turn to greed, obviously. And when the greed sort of takes over, they back themselves into a corner by doing some not so noble things. And by the end of the season, sort of watching them make the lie in the bed they made.
Yeah. Yeah, I watched the first episode last night. I was looking for you. And Samantha's like, oh, he's not into episode 3. And I was like, that's okay. I still enjoyed the ride. And it was so like interesting to see. It's a real story, right? To see this brown man who like was working for someone else, was hustling. Like I think in this story, he said he like never ate like besides like expired food at the gas station he worked at. He saved $44,000 in the 70s to make his own business. He didn't want to work for someone else. And like, I was like, yes. I was like, so we need more of that. We need more people like taking initiative and not settling, right?
Because I mean, you might feel so, Jason. It gets real complicated later on, though.
So buckle up.
No, because everything you're saying is absolutely true. And then I think the point of the story is like there's a threshold.
Yes.
Because by the end of the series, without giving too much, I feel this way. I feel like it's a call out on greedy, immoral capitalism. Like the kind that strips humanity and that doesn't consider humanity. And so I think a big chunk of the story is watching someone who is a very, very well-intentioned hustler get to a point where they're so greedy that now they think it's okay to inflict harm on others.
Mm. Which is our capitalist country.
Yeah, and I think as performers or people in the arts, we sort of know that feeling too, because there are moments that we are so desperately want a job or want a win, and then we end up compromising who we are or revealing.
Oh yeah, yeah. Wow.
Wait. So can you talk about like what your process was like for this character? Was it different from
just
like a Tick Tick or like a Boys in the Band? Like these characters that you, I feel like can have always just like slipped right in because it's what you've always done? Or was this like fierce, like easy, I can do this?
Not at all. And in this, I'll answer the other half of the question before too about it being a different type of role. So somewhere like in June, I got asked to audition for this movie. Actually, I forget the name of it, but Lena Waithe was producing it. And I say that because one of my dreams, and I'm gonna say it on this podcast to manifest it, I wanna work with Lena Waithe.
Same. He's on my face. Yes, she's a queen. She's a queen.
I wanna work with Lena. And so I was auditioning for this thing. I gotta warm up my tongue in the mornings. I mumble more and it's a podcast. La, 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 la,
la, la. I was gonna say your diction is great today.
Because I'm confident.
Hit a couple of D's really hard. I was like, yes, thank you. Thank
you for overall, hitting it. I'm focusing on these days. Yes, Jason, I saw the tongue exercises. I have my setup. I'm doing my audition. And here's the thing. In the pandemic, I know a lot of y'all know this with the self-tapes. Like, I work alone physically. I'm doing lighting. I'm doing my background. I'm taping. And then thank God for my beautiful friends like Samantha, my high school choir teacher, my girl Jen. Like, they be coming through reading for me on FaceTime.
Yes.
So I have my setup and I'm all frustrated, like switching lights or whatever. And I said, lights, I only got one. And
liar.
Unless you count overhead. And so I went to go pull up my pants while I was moving things around. And when I went to pull my pants, I was like, huh, who's that? Because my posture changed. And I do work this way sometimes where I feel like I download a character, like something will come to me of like, ooh, I like that posture or I like that way of speaking or what. And it's different than when you physically see something, when you just casually do it and you observe it. And I thought, well, who's that person? Because I like that. And I kept like sort of meditating on that. And I thought of Joe Pesci. And I've always wanted to play a gangster.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And as a non-conventional or as a character actor, like that's a non-conventional character actor leading man. And if that's what I want to do, then that's a model for me, a role model. And so with the gangster thing, I was like, that's what I want to do. I want to do a period piece where I get to play a gangster in like that Joe Pesci kind of way. And for months after that, I kept receiving information like, I think you should grow your hair out, Robin. So I started growing my hair out. I started working around with my fashion, giving more like a 70s vibe and using more oranges and yellows and creams and reds. This is so, it's so random. There was a song about to happen there. Orange and reds and cream. and so one day, literally, it would have been today. Oh my God, that's so funny. The day before or 2 days before Thanksgiving, my agent says, hey, I have an audition for you for this story about the Chippendales. And it was Ray. And when I read the description of Ray, I was like, hold up. This works with everything that I've been downloading the last few months.
Hold up, wait a minute.
You don't have to pay for the rights for that.
It's under 10 seconds. I think we're good.
No. So then I go online and I'm looking up the real life dude, and like he had a fro of curls like me. He was a short Puerto Rican dude. He had light eyes like they were similar. We looked different, but there were a lot of physical similarities. And so I kind of knew, ding, 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 this is the thing that I had been waiting for. The audition was rough. Like the scenes were dense, thick, long, monologue. It was Thanksgiving Day weekend. I wasn't trying to be reading. I wasn't trying to be learning lines. So by the end of the week, but you know, you got to, the hustle. So like 2 days before, I'm just sitting there like cramming all these lines and I'm sort of wigging because my brain is in holiday mode and it's not absorbing the way I want it. Mm-hmm. And I had a moment where I thought, this is too much. I don't want to give a bad audition. So let me just not do this. And I call my girl Jen, and Jen, you're gonna love this shout out. And Jen loves Kumail Nanjiani. So when I told her about the piece, she said, You have to tape this audition. Like there's no world in which you don't. So she literally, like that morning, forced me. I knew the first scene. I had it down pretty solid. So we got that one. I felt good. And the second scene was like, It had moments, but it wasn't perfect. And I'm a perfectionist. I'm an artist. I'm sensitive about my shit. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, Badu.
Yeah. No, Lauryn Hill.
Oh, no, huh? No, it's Badu.
Badu. Oh, Tyrone. The name. Lauryn Hill repeats it then. Oh, no.
Oh, does she?
Oh, my God. No. Wow.
Tyrone. Remember in the beginning of Tyrone? She's like, I'm an artist.
You're absolutely right. In my mind, I'm thinking of the concert on MTV with Lauryn Hill, you know, where she was
the Unplugged.
The Unplugged. Yeah.
You guys fully have lost me.
Yeah.
I'm like, what?
Basically, Robin was being racist. That's what just happened. I'm a perfectionist. We know how we are. And so I almost started to beat myself up in the moment. Like I had a defeated energy. But I knew that first scene really hit. And I got through the second one, and it wasn't bad. I was just being dramatic because I wanted to be perfect. I sent it in, and my agent, I told him that I was feeling very self-conscious about it. And he was like, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Like, the second scene, you're reading, and the first one was memorized. I do see that. But, like, it's good work. It's competitive work. So I think we should send this in. And thank God I did that, because then there was a callback and a work session with Kumail. And then there was another callback with the director / work session. So it was a process. It did take a couple months to book the role. And I'm glad it worked out, because the real life person, even though I said he was similar to me, he was also 20 years older than me. So the role was kind of reimagined once I came in as well. Yeah, and I think that's what took longer, because for them to figure out, like, oh, if it's Robin, then this is how we do it.
Wow. I love that he said this is competitive work.
Which I love that for you too when he says it.
Yeah, I love that. Which is like, you know, I think us put pressure on ourselves to have to like be off book, just like you said, be a perfectionist. But if the work is there, like ultimately that's all that matters.
Yeah.
At the end of the day.
100%. And Do I prefer to be off book? Yes. Do I always have the comfort of being able to, the time or the headspace? No. And real talk, like, there is a conversation that's being had and needs to be had about the amount, the content, the amount of content that's given to people auditioning. The audition material, a lot of times, it's like the industry expects us to not have a full-bodied life.
Yeah. Or a survival job.
A hundo P.
You know?
Yeah, like, no, it's true.
Dream life is that that's our only job, to audition, but it's not.
And that adds on to the conversation we were having earlier about there being rules put on creative folks that don't exist on others. Like, I get it. We're supposed to want this and it's not easy. But I think there's a part of the industry and that intersection of capitalism sold us this idea that we're supposed to suffer to be these artists and that we're supposed to accept being treated like we're less than until we pass a certain threshold. And then we get to treat others like they're less than.
Yeah. No way. It's true.
Like you should not be giving people auditions the day before or 2 days before Thanksgiving and telling them that it's due the Monday afterwards. No.
Yeah.
Because all you got to do is watch it.
Right.
Yeah.
It's dead wrong.
It's so wrong. It's dirty.
You preaching.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Oh my gosh. Well, I guess, I don't know. I wanted to ask you really quickly, because last time we spoke, you had just become a member of the Academy.
Hey! Right? Oh,
I know. That's so cool.
So stupid.
Out the most over. It's the thing I've nerded out the most for. It makes me so
crazy. That's so crazy.
I mean, I keep getting stuck on when people are like, I'd like to thank the Academy. Like, that's you.
They're thinking Robin, right?
Yeah. Well, you know what? This is why I love Dominic, my other bestie, because when I told him that you and Carmel said that, that like every time someone says thank you to the Academy, that includes me, he said, yeah, bitch, that also means when they say Oscar's so white, that means you too.
Ooh.
Like, he was like, I want you to know, but also that means you're also responsible. That also means when there's a call out that you're a part of that, whether you participated or didn't directly to that thing.
Which that kind of leads into Jason's question, yeah. Actually.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, as a proud Puerto Rican man, what do you want to bring to the Academy that you feel is currently missing?
When you said Puerto Rican man, I was in the back of my head, what a man.
Yes.
Man. Or like, you know, Madison, oh, the Puerto Rican.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Puerto Rican. I already forgot the question. I apologize.
as a member of the Academy, what do you want to bring that you feel is missing right now?
What do I feel is missing right now is accessibility. And you know, the Academy is doing a lot of things to like get to this moment now. You know, the numbers within the Academy aren't where they need to be. But the thing is too, is like, the culture has to shift. You know, so much of Hollywood has been viewed through a white gaze and what's considered good and what isn't, and what's considered quality and what isn't. And I think that Black and brown folks come from all kinds of other cultures that like might perceive things different, like things hit differently, right?
Yeah.
So I think it's gonna take a while for the Academy to get to where it needs to get, but I think it's happening right now with all the new folks coming in, like me, Ariana DeBose, Olga Meredes, one of my agents, Josiah Canelli, also became one this year. And so I think that the changes are happening with the people from within. I'm really fascinated to know how voting's going to go this year, because I don't know the ratios yet of like Black and brown produced films or films with actors. I'm only voting in the acting categories.
Yeah. So tell us really quick, how do you get invited? Like, how does one become part? Like, what is the criteria?
The Academy. The criteria.
I mean, the thing is, I didn't know that people apply. And gotcha. I love my publicist so much. And I think she knows what I'm about and what I'm passionate about and what I want to do. And so I think the idea came to her. And usually what it takes is you need a recommendation from two other members of the Academy or something like that. Okay. And a recommendation letter. There's an application. And then, like, you know, because you don't always get approved. Some people get denied and they keep trying every year until they get approved.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, it's a thing. And I went to like the first like meet and greet. And you know, at the meet and greet, that's I'm still learning a lot. So I couldn't fully answer your previous question about that. But I was observing there, like, what were the ratios of white folks to black and brown folks? And so there are black and brown folks. But again, the numbers are still still changing. And while I was there, I met someone else who said, oh, how did you get in? Or how many times did you try to get in? And I said, I didn't.
You're like, just once.
It was an unintentional flex. And this man chuckled, but inside he was like, this motherfucker.
Unintentional flex, I love.
Unintentional flex. But he was someone who had tried and like campaigned and like, not campaigned, but like a social
campaign. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Vouch for him.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thanks for this.
You sure did say, I didn't. How many times? I didn't. You're like, I booked it.
I didn't even know. Yeah. I just want to get back, Jason, also to your other question, to your previous question. Like, what's really interesting, I'm looking at the movies coming in, and there obviously isn't as much black and brown content. And so I think really what a lot of the changes are going to, what it's going to take for a lot of the changes is the continual progress behind the scenes. Like, we need more black and brown folks producing, we need more black and brown folks writing. But actually, even when I say that, that's wrong of me. We have black and brown folks who want to produce and who write. They're just not aligning with opportunity. And it's growing. And I think what's happening is that every time someone like one of us comes through and joins the Academy, you know, hopefully we're working with a little exponent, you know, that the next time we keep multiplying all that.
So thank you for sharing that, because I've always been curious. You know, no one ever tells you these things, right? No one ever explains how does one become an Academy, you know? So thank you.
The Academy. did you not know until it was announced, or did you get a little heads up?
No one gave. No, that's
no y'all, right.
Who was the first person that texted me? Because it wasn't someone
it was the group chat. I think it was off Broadway group chat.
No, I think there was someone else that texted me beforehand. Maybe it was, I don't remember. But then I got an email from the Academy that was forwarded from my press agent. And that was so funny because I was like, this email doesn't really feel official to me. Like, if they had sent this to me directly.
academy@gmail.com.
it was just so bizarre. It was like, this could have gone to my spam. I would never know.
It's like an email blast. It's like Black Friday deal. It's like 50% off. Welcome to the Academy.
For real.
That is so funny.
That's so funny.
I mean, this has been so nice to just chat about like everything that's gone on since you first came on the show, and we spoke a little bit about Thanksgiving. So do you have anything you want to say that you're thankful for this year?
Well, the first thing that came to me was, I'm grateful for consciousness. I think we're in a place right now where a lot is testing us. And sometimes, you know, the famous Baldwin quote, he said this specifically about black folks. He said, to be black and to be conscious is to be constantly in a fit of rage. I mean, that's not verbatim, but
facts, yeah.
Yeah. And I think that there's so much happening in the world right now. And if you're a conscious person, you're aware of it. And it feels like, man, how much more can our nervous systems take? You know what I'm saying, Jason?
Yeah.
I have to remind myself and affirm the fact that I'm so grateful for consciousness, because I would rather be conscious and frustrated than completely unaware.
Totally.
You're unaware, but I'm grateful for the consciousness, because it allows me to engage with empathy, sympathy, and compassion in a way that makes me better as a person. I know that sounds really like woo-woo, that's what I feel. I'm also grateful for my family. I'm always grateful for my family, because it's what they're what ground me and tether me and make me stay a real person. And I will also say, because I've been saying this in the morning when I smudge myself and set my intentions, I'm grateful for I am grateful for inspiration. I'm grateful for creativity. I'm grateful for divinity. I'm grateful for my artistry. I'm grateful for discipline. I'm grateful to want things in life and to not be in a place where I don't feel. So even when it's icky, I say thank you.
I love that. That was nice. Oof. I just was like closing my eyes with you. Like smudged.
Yeah. I was like, no, I gotta rewind this, and we're gonna write these down, and I gotta start saying them.
Get
so I can be in the academy by the time I'm 30.
What's the year we're gonna be at the Oscars, Jason? That we always manifest.
I said 2028, but oof.
We have time.
Yeah, we still have time.
Yeah,
2028.
It will happen. It will happen.
It will happen. Yeah,
manifesting on here. But we have one more question, or I have a two-parter, and then we're going to play our game and stop taking all your time. So thank you. But I always like to ask people this, like, what's bringing them joy right now, artistically? Is it whether a movie or a TV show, book, a podcast?
You know what's
museum
funny?
Museum visit.
Yeah, I say, oh, friend visits are very needed right now, because I do feel like, even though I'm doing stuff for work-related, promoting my show and stuff, I have not had as much time with my people, you know, like I just said before, with my family and my friends, they tether me. So my sanity is affected when I'm not with them as much. And yeah. So then home also isolated as well, because a lot of the press is also online. I have to remind myself that I need to be social, that actually feels good.
Yeah.
Creatively, what's bringing me joy?
Yeah. What's feeding your soul creatively?
I actually recently rewatched a bunch of seasons of RuPaul's Drag Race. And that was so good for me, because it was nice to watch people be creative in so many other ways simultaneously. It was also great to have something that I could just like put on and not really have to think, which is not to say that's not a diss on the show at all. It's just like,
yeah, no.
It caters to like just being chill
escapism.
At home.
Escapism, yeah.
Yeah, 100%. Honestly, this sounds so silly, but like yoga's really been affecting my affecting my creativity, because I need to sometimes come down afterwards. Like if there's an audition, I'm learning lines, and sometimes when you're working on a new character, you don't realize that you're tensing up. You're like, you're in that frustration phase of like learning the role or figuring out who this character is, or you're frustrated over your lighting equipment is like janky, or your backdrop is wrinkly and you only have a half hour to self-tape, and now you got to iron the backdrop, you know, like all those little things. And so then afterwards, like I find myself very, very wound up. And so that ability to decompress allows me to then like start new and be creative again. Cause there are days like a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, real life things were happening and I had a lot of work to do and the lines weren't coming out of my mouth. I had memorized them, but I couldn't remember them in the moment. I felt like I couldn't act. I wasn't being present. And I just had to call out from the day. Like the audition was not gonna happen because I was exhausted and I didn't want to accept that. So that's why. Yoga.
Gotcha. Yoga with Bird.
Yeah.
With Bird. I love Yoga with Bird.
I know.
And so hopefully hopefully people are inspired to check out Welcome to Chippendales. Hopefully that show will be feeding other people's souls. But maybe you can really quickly just tell people why they should tune in if they aren't convinced yet.
Y'all gotta watch Welcome to Chippendales. It's gonna give you everything you need. It is, first of all, it's a fascinating story that maybe you thought you knew, but you don't. It's so much more. The backstage story is crazy. It's like a true crime farce in a way, because it's, you wouldn't think that these things would happen or that they're related. It's gonna give you greed, it's gonna give you sex. Like, I'm sure there are straight dudes that are like, I don't feel like looking at naked dudes. Whoever likes naked dudes, you will be very satisfied. But if you don't like naked dudes, is not your thing, trust, there is so much more happening outside of that. You're going to have murder. You're going to have greed. You're going to have sex. You're going to have a call out on immoral capitalism, although that's more my agenda than anyone else's. And just good acting, great acting, great storytelling.
Great acting. And the end of that first episode, I was like, oh, I got to watch the next one. I was so tired.
Oh my God. I didn't start yet. I'm waiting for more to come because I'm going to get mad. Like, if I
that you can't watch. I'm actually watching it because I haven't watched the whole thing. I only watched the first two episodes and some of the last, because the last episode is like really big for my character.
Yeah.
The last episode is almost like a play between me and Kumail somewhat. So I just wanted to see a little bit of it and then pull back. I'm going to watch it weekly because, real talk, I miss watching TV the old way where you have to wait.
So you should live tweet.
Oh, you don't want me tweeting. I get worried. For the reason I don't tweet. I get worried.
Oh, you don't want me tweeting.
I'm so dead. All right. Well, also, thank you.
Also,
what'd you say?
Also, buy Twitter.
Literally, Twitter. Somebody said last week they're like the declining Twitter.
Okay, yeah. Bye.
I don't think I've looked at my Twitter since 2012. To be totally honest,
I rarely go on it.
Yeah, it's. Poor like Twitter. That. Anyway,
Jason, before you close, I just want to say I didn't list any more things that were filling me creatively, honestly, because I'm watching so much that I can't even keep my head around the order.
I feel that. No, it's true.
You can write in and let us know if anything else comes to you.
All right.
Robin, thank you for coming back. This is so fun. Everybody needs to run and watch Welcome to Chippendales. Ray Colon in the flesh.
Hulu.
On Hulu. Thank you. I know, Robin, you're just hitting all the streaming services now.
Word.
Netflix, Hulu.
Somebody
can go to Disney Plus, Amazon Prime, Peacock. We'll get you on all of them. I think you are on Peacock as Jose Silva, by the way.
That's right.
SVU, my favorite role of yours. I don't know if you remember from the last episode you were with us, but we always like to end with a game. I think you aced the bubblegum trivia. Okay. So maybe we'll stump you this time. Since you've been performing with, directed by, working with so many fierce people, we thought we'd play a fun trivia game called Name Your Co-Star. So thank you, Jason. I love that. We're going to give you a fact, and then you're going to tell us who it is. We're not. You can ask for a hint, but this is not multiple choice.
Okay.
Are you okay?
I'm so scared.
No, it's pretty easy. I think you'll ace it. And then if you need to ask for a hint, we can give it to you.
Okay.
Jason, do you want to take the first one?
Sure. Okay, first one. This past co-star of yours, and I'll give you a little hint because I think this is kind of a hard one, from Boys in a Band, is from Houston, Texas.
Oh, Matt Bomer. It's Matt Bomer. The Texas ones are Matt Bomer, Michael Benjamin Washington, and Jim Parsons. I'm going to say Michael Benjamin Washington.
I'm going to give it to you because you said you said his name in the three, so I'll give it to you.
Jim Parsons. And
it was Jim Parsons. But like, by the way, it could also be Michael. I don't know.
Well, because some of the guys actually knew each other from high school in Texas.
Yes. See, so you just actually played us. You actually stumped us in the game. So
bonus
already. You already have double points. Okay, this past co-star of yours is best known for his role in the HBO comedy series Silicon Valley.
Kumail Nanjiani.
Correct.
Yeah, that's correct. Before hitting mega success, this past co-star had a survival job of being an after-school tutor and a substitute teacher.
Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Yes, correct. Oh, you're on fire.
After being inspired by their role on TV, this past co-star created the Joyful Heart Foundation, which provides support to people who have been sexually abused.
Mariska Hargitay.
Correct.
It took me a beat, but then I remembered who was asking the question.
Yeah, who created the game.
Wow.
Thank you.
You are killing it.
Okay. Yeah.
And then the bonus, which you don't really need because...
You already got the bonus.
We'll ask you already. This past co-star of yours' favorite birthday celebration involved eating pop brownies with his friends and exploring Disneyland while high. Where did you get that question?
On like an interview.
Eating what again?
Sorry, I'm going to read that again because I don't know if I read it correctly. This past co-star of yours' favorite birthday celebration involved eating pop brownies, weed brownies, marijuana brownies with his friends and exploring Disneyland while high.
I mean, are we talking about me?
Yeah. Well, you guys do, I think you have a very similar birthdays.
Yeah.
That's the hint. Your birthdays are really close together.
Your birthdays are one day apart.
My birthdays are one. Oh my God, because I'm literally like, you know, I'm like Michael Kilgore, Kenita Miller, and I share a birthday. So my immediately.
Oh, no, nope, it's not Michael Kilgore.
And oh my God.
He was also one of the biggest movies of this past like year, end of last year into this year.
We spoke about him earlier.
Wait, actually though, because this sounds like, would it be Andrew Garfield?
Yeah.
Correct.
Okay, wait, and the reason and this is really funny to me because that might be the reason he stopped. He's like, I don't, well, remember when we were doing the movie, he's like, I don't mess with that. My days are done. So that's
dead.
By the way, I found this on like an article, like on insider.com.
No. Like, I actually think I remember him telling a story about this, I feel like. And then maybe it might have led to a moment where he was like, nope, don't need to ever do that again.
You go, is this me? It's not Six Flags. If it was Six Flags, then maybe it would be.
If it was Six Flags and a gummy.
And a gummy. Or some drops.
Yes.
That's for another show. That story's for another show. Robin, you got 150% on that game. Congrats. Yeah.
It took a lot of help with the last one, but thank you. Yeah.
Thank you.
It was a hard one.
Thank you.
Robin, can you tell all of our listeners how they can keep up with you, where they can follow you, what's going on? Please let everyone know where they can keep up with you.
You guys, you can keep up with me. You can follow me on social media at Robin of Jesus. My last name is De Jesus, so it's Robin of Jesus. Don't think that I'm like knocking door to door trying to get you to join my religion.
No, not yet.
Yes. I have a Twitter account, but that's on its way out. You can follow me, check on me on Instagram, and you can see me on Welcome to Chippendales on Hulu. You can watch Santiago of the Seas with your kids. I voice Pepito on that show.
Your mischief stops here, Pepito.
What? You again? Ugh, I'm bored by your ramblings, music maker. I'm gonna take your voice too.
And you'll catch me in random, I guess, random other places. But for now, that's the place where I know you'll find me anyway.
And then if you didn't see him, he was on Jennifer Hudson's show this week, which you can also check out. And you did a whole great story about your mom because we love your mom.
Yes. J-Hud, you can rewatch part of it on YouTube. I don't think you can watch the whole interview, but she's just absolutely lovely. And I had such a great time. And I'm grateful to share that with y'all.
We'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah, for sure. And if you're just tuning in now to us because you're a Robin fan and you don't follow Survival Jobs, check us out on Instagram and Twitter at Survival Jobs Pod, on Facebook at Survival Jobs a Podcast. Shoot us an email at survivaljobspod@gmail.com. Jason, which makes me laugh because you're like theacademy@gmail.com.
I'm dying. That was really the email. People were emailing them.
Yo.
Follow my boy Jason at Jason A. Coombs, and you can check me out at Sammy Toots. Robin, we love you. You are a Survival Jobs favorite, and we love you so much.
I love
you. Thank you. We love you.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org. Because only together we rise.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.